Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him amongst the relatives. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why did you search for me?" Jesus asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. I'm going to ask a question, and there's only two ways to answer this question, honestly or lying, especially for the parents. Who's okay with what Jesus did here? Who thinks it was okay for Jesus just to stay in Jerusalem? No hands. Fantastic. Everyone's feeling honest today. It's one of those stories that we like to just think about. Everything that Jesus did was perfect and wonderful and amazing. But it's one of those stories that just kind of shines a light on the humanity of Jesus. If we were to tell this story, but instead of it being Jesus, it was any one of your children, you would rightfully lose your mind. Your child had something that they believed in strongly, something wonderful, like sticking around to ask the pastor questions. And so they just, while on vacation, when you were on your way home, they just stayed behind. And when you realized it, you're just supposed to be okay with it? No. You rightfully lose your mind. So the question I pose is, did Jesus make a mistake here? Did he make a misstep? Did he do something wrong? And why I pose that question is not to make you question your belief that Jesus is divinely perfect, that Jesus is sinless and blameless. I do not want to make you question that, but rather make you question how you view sin, especially in terms of mistakes. How do you view sin when somebody just does something wrong, but they didn't necessarily mean to? Can we look at a mistake and view it as that, a mistake? Not something heinous, not a sin, not something to point blame at somebody, but as a mistake, a misstep, just doing something wrong blamelessly. I want to take a look at this story in basically three parts: a description of what Jesus does and who Jesus is in this moment, how Mary and Joseph respond, and then how Jesus responds back to them. So let's look at Jesus. You have a young, precocious, talented young man of the faith. who lives in the redneck backwoods of Israel, despite having no trees. This is the Hicksville of Hicksvilles of Israel. Later on, when they're like, isn't he a Nazarene? That's what they're asking. Isn't he from that area that we don't talk about? Like Riverhaven? Isn't he from over there? Like, why is he so smart? So he's in this area, and definitely not an area that's known for its education system, clearly. And he is this precocious, talented, intelligent young man with strong faith who's going to grow up to be a man of professional faith. He's going to live out ministry. And there's little opportunity for him to get the deep teaching that he is craving about Scripture and faith, and the deep interaction with those who know the Scriptures. And he craves it. You just know that the Son of God is craving this interaction. And his parents, he lives in Nazareth, but once a year, his parents go to Jerusalem and takes the family with them. They go to Jerusalem and they have the festival. And then he has a rare opportunity that he takes advantage of. This teaching and this discussion about the Scriptures that he craves, he can go to the temple. The temple's right there. He can go. He can ask questions of the rabbis. He can read the Scriptures. He can answer questions. He can discuss all of the stuff that he craves, all of this deepening of knowledge and faith that he desires. He can do it. He has the opportunity. And so he decides that he's going to stay back and do this without telling anyone, including his parents. He's just going to stay back at 12 years old in the big city of Jerusalem and not tell anyone. Just stay back and hope everyone figures it out and everyone's okay with it. If a youth did what Jesus did right up to that line of not telling his parents, we would celebrate. We would rejoice at the strength of faith that they were showing. I would throw a party if a youth came to me and said, I would love to just stick around and ask you really difficult questions. I would rejoice. It would lift my spirits so high. Just rejoice. Celebrate. But that not telling his mom bit, that's the part where we all might just be like, okay, really bad idea. Now, I don't think Jesus did anything malicious. I honestly don't even think Jesus probably thought about it. Jesus probably saw his opportunity to get this thing that he craved and didn't think about it. He made a severe misstep in his plans. But he's 12 years old. He doesn't really know any better. All he sees is the need to express this faith and this knowledge, and doesn't think about further consequences because he's 12 years old. 12-year-olds are not known for making the brightest decisions. I was 12 years old. I'm going to tell a story about that here in just a second. We don't always make smart decisions. Heck, at 31 years old, we don't always make smart decisions. And it's not malice, it's not bad, it's not sinful, it's just missteps, mistakes that we can take that do the wrong thing and cause havoc even but it's just a misstep. It's not sin. It's not blamable. It's just a misstep. So that's who Jesus is and what Jesus does. Now we have Mary's response. And much like I said, I think Luke undersold it when he talks about the shepherds. I'm pretty sure he's underselling it here too. The author of Luke clearly is just a nothing but the facts, ma'am. You're not getting the emotion. A little bit of anxiety, a little bit of worry. That seems like he's underselling it just a little bit. Instead, what you probably have is Mary and Joseph, and they get a day out of the city. And we assume, like, this is a large family unit, cousins upon cousins upon second cousins, and aunts and uncles and everyone, this giant group of people. And so not only was Jesus probably not under Mary's care at that moment, Mary probably had kids that weren't her own under her care. It's just a big communal family thing. Everyone's responsible for somebody. And so they're all doing head counts, and they get an hour outside the city, a day outside the city, and they're like, wait a second, somebody's missing. Oh, Jesus is missing. And then there's that panic, that, oh my gosh, where the heck is he? What did he do? Like, what is going on? And so they check to make sure that he's really not with them, and he's really not. And then they check again to make sure he's really not with them, and he's not. And then they check again to see if he's really not with them, and he's not. And so their hearts just sink into their stomach, just thump. Worry just washes over them. The fear just, and so they hurry back to Jerusalem. And again, they're at least a day outside of the city, so it's going to take them as long to get back to the city. Maybe less because it's just the two of them, but still, they're going back to the city. And then they frantically search the city for 3 days, just worrying and concerned, struggling to figure out, like, where in the heck could he have possibly gone? And then they find him after 3 days in the temple. And I imagine Mary sees him and she wraps her arms around him and she holds on to him as long as she can. It seems like it will never end. And then as she's releasing him, all of her relief and joy turns to anger and frustration. And she grabs him by his tunic and he's shaking him. She's like, why did you do this to us? Why did you worry us so much? We just spent 3 days searching for you. Anyone going to disagree with Mary's actions there? Anyone? This is where I'm going to tell my story. I grew up in a town of 700, for anyone who doesn't realize this. I grew up in a town of 700. And I had asked my parents, if I could go do something with a friend, I think. I don't even know why I left the house. I was trying to figure out last night why I left the house. But I was going to be gone for not all that long. And I met up with my friend, and either I realized or he told me that it was the back to school night at the church where you could go talk to your teachers and learn things. And being a teacher's pet, and being the sort of kid that got along with his teachers better than his peers, I went. I went to the school. I talked to my teachers. I spent almost the entire evening at the school. I had been given a time that, like, I was roughly supposed to be home that was completely reasonable for what I was going to do. And then I went to the school and spent a few hours there talking to my teachers, which, if you're like, in a town of 700, how did you spend multiple hours talking to your teachers? That probably says more about me than anything. Anyway, I go to the school, and I'm not being bad. I'm literally just talking to my teachers, getting ready for the year, learning a little bit about the plans for the year, enjoying myself at school. I then, As the event winds down, I walk straight home. No deviation, no going anywhere, not doing anything. But I walked into the door an hour and a half to 2 hours later than I was supposed to. Now, a town of 700 does not create the sort of worry that a city of 250,000 does, or a city of a couple million does, but still, my parents were very worried right up until I walked in that door. They were not happy with me. No, I didn't get punished. I very vividly remember that. I did not get punished. I did very forcefully get told not to do things like that again, that if I was going to do that, I needed to tell my parents where I was going to go so they knew where I was at. But they did not punish me because I didn't do anything wrong. Now, does anyone here think I made a mistake? You can say it more forcefully. I can take it. I made a mistake. I made a serious misstep. I did something wrong, but I wasn't bad. I wasn't sinful. I didn't do something condemnable or judgeable or blamable. I just made a mistake. Now, when Jesus responds to his mother, he does something I didn't do that night, but something that only precocious, intelligent, talented 12-year-old kids can do. He looks at his mom and so matter-of-factly says, "Why did you look all over the city? Clearly I was going to be in my father's house." Super logical, wholly right, exactly the correct answer, and wholly unhelpful. Again, something only precocious, intelligent 12-year-olds can do. The absolutely right, unhelpful answer. And of course they didn't understand in that moment. They were freaking out and losing their minds because their son had been missing for, at that point, probably 5 days. I mean, of course they didn't understand what he was saying and why he would want to stay there. But even if Jesus didn't do something bad, even if this wasn't a sinful action, Jesus definitely did not do the right thing. His actions created havoc and chaos that created fear and worry and anxiety. They did not do good things to his parents. He clearly made a mistake and did the wrong thing in that moment. If we read this story honestly, and trust me, in the history of the church, the story has not always been read honestly. I read John Calvin's take on the story, and I'm like, yeah, you have no concept of the humanity of Jesus. Like, this story has not always been read honestly, but if you read this story honestly, as a sinless and blameless 12-year-old, but still a 12-year-old that still needs to grow up and learn and mature because he took the fullness of humanity on him, you can see a 12-year-old who did the wrong thing and made a mistake. Not by any fault of his own, not to be blamed or counted as sin, not to go against his perfection, but just a mistake. And I just want to address something. My problem with away in a manger has less to do with if Jesus cried or not when the cattle lowed. I'm done with that argument. But more this belief that Jesus, from infancy, was the mature adult that he was at his death. The infant Jesus knew everything, that wedding at Cana Jesus, that empty tomb Jesus, that Last Supper Jesus, that crucifixion Jesus knew. The infant Jesus was fully mature, and the little infant adult, helpless but fully mature, and knew exactly what to say at every moment of every day. That Jesus is not human Jesus. That Jesus is some supernatural, like God-like figure that did not take humanity on himself. If Jesus came to earth as fully human, then he took on all of our life, including the need to grow up. The Jesus that gave the Sermon on the Mount was not the same Jesus who didn't tell his mom he was staying in Jerusalem at 12 years old. There is a level of maturity difference there, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with making mistakes in youth or even adulthood. Clearly, Mary had the right response in that moment. No one's going to take that away from her. But that doesn't mean that Jesus did something bad and sinned against God and sinned against his mom. Can we give ourselves room to make mistakes? Can we give ourselves room to step wrong and stumble? Not because we're sinful, but just because we don't know everything. Can we give our youth that room to grow up and mature and not necessarily need to know everything? To not necessarily need to know the right action of every moment of every day? Can we give ourselves that room to need to grow up and mature? Can we look at a story like this and see Jesus, blameless and sinless, still make the wrong decision, and that not destroy our faith in his perfection and his divinity? Or does every action of Jesus need to be clearly lined out and have the exact response that it needs to have? Does Jesus need to do everything right for him to be perfect and blameless? Or can we give ourselves room to mistake and misstep and not judge ourselves, not condemn those who make a mistake? I hope you can. I hope that you can give yourself room for mistakes, missteps, stumbling, not because you're sinful, not because you desire to do something wrong, but because you just made the wrong decision. And I hope that we can give that to our youth as well. At 12 years old, Jesus made the wrong decision. As much as we like to just assume everything that Jesus did on earth was perfect, 12-year-old Jesus made the wrong decision. And importantly, we don't have two of these stories. He learned his lesson. He didn't continue to do the wrong thing. He had to grow up, just like we all needed to grow up and we all need to continue to grow up. Let's give ourselves the space to do it and the room to just say, it was a mistake and I don't need to be condemned for it. I hope we can live with ourselves and just allow ourselves to make mistakes. Because as I read it, Jesus did. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.